Now, we've had to practice physical distancing, which for most individuals meant more time at home with the family. And if you're working, it means that, you know, most of us had to work from home. And, you know, when you're working from home and you're at home, it means that there are other commitments there. You know, you've got chores, you have the kids to look out for. And, you know, this can be stressing, having to balance all this and, you know, somehow still be able to work. So how can one cope when juggling a lot of responsibilities?
Yes, COVID-19 has, you know, created, you know, an environment like you've described, one where we are staying at home and we're working from home. Our children are learning from home. We have to juggle all of these responsibilities all at the same time, and it can be quite difficult. I think, you know, there are certain things that we can do to make our lives easier. I think one of the things that made it difficult for people to cope was that, you know, we had a routine that we lived our lives in, which made it easier for us to cope with all of these responsibilities. These responsibilities were there, but because we had a routine that we followed, we dropped children off at school, or children went to school, we went to work, we were doing whatever we were doing, but we were still cooking, cleaning, and doing all of these other things and all of these other responsibilities, but there was an order to it. Now when people are at home, children are learning from home, parents are working from home, and still all of these things need to be done at the same time. It became quite difficult for a lot of people to juggle the responsibilities, and it's very easy to become stressed. It's very easy to become irritated with each other and to have a lot of conflict around, you know, people not helping at home or not pulling their weight or not doing what others are expecting for things to be easy at home. So it's very easy to, you know, to be stuck and to be stressed by all of these things. But a lot of people who are talking about working from home and having school from home started talking about strategies to make it better. Part of it is that creating a routine where everybody knows that they're going to wake up at a certain time at home, and then when they wake up, children are starting school at the same at a certain time, and as the children are doing school, parents are also doing their work, so everybody is focusing on whatever they need to do, and meals are had at the same time, and we prepare meals together. So if there's a time that we say from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock or to 12 o'clock, we are, you know, we are doing schoolwork, and then from 12:30 to 1 we are preparing lunch, and then, you know, from 1 to 2 we're having lunch and we're having a bit of recreational time together, and then after that we go back to class if it's class, and it's back to work. You know, that kind of routine makes it easy, because when everybody's learning, everybody's learning. When everybody's working, everybody's working. When we are eating, we are all eating. When we are playing, we are all playing, and it's recreational time. So, you know, there isn't those, you know, disconnects where you want to work but the children want to play, and then now you have to focus but they don't have anything that they're focusing on, and so they're pulling on you to do stuff with them. Other strategies that we seem to help was that, you know, separating playtime and play area and work area. So if, you know, somebody has got a place where they are going to eat, yes, this is where we eat, but that's not where we play. This is where we work, but this is not where we play. So having those separate areas where we say this is our serious zone, even if it's school, this is serious zone. When you're in this zone, whether it's the dining room or wherever we say is our serious zone, you are doing work in those areas and you are not playing. And this is our play zone. We don't bring play. We don't bring work into those zones. You know, so separating those things where, so that the house becomes a place that's not just work, and the house is not just a place to play, but we've got zones within the house where we say, if we're in this area of the house, we are working or we are playing. So organizing our lives like that make it a lot easier for us to juggle these responsibilities. And then also within that, you know, putting a bit of me time. So being able to separate where the children know that it's mom or dad's downtime. When dad gets into his room at this particular time, or mom gets into their room or whoever, they don't want to be disturbed. It's their downtime. So people aren't opening the door, knocking, asking you to do things and all of that. So that you just get a bit of time to cool down, to regroup and to rest.
so that you don't feel like, you know, people are on top of you all the time and you've got requests that are coming from every direction all the time. And it's the same thing with work emails and having to respond to things. If it's not work time, then you shouldn't be doing work. Because it is easy for work to spill into, you know, downtime. So an email comes in because you are now not in the office setup. You shouldn't respond to that email. You must allow that email to wait until the time it needs to be responded to during work time. So you can be able to separate the time that you're at work and the time that you are, you know, having for yourself, time that you're having with family, and time that you're doing, you know, recreational things. So all of these things are things that we can put into our routines so that it helps us. It helps our mental health. And we're not feeling like we're working all the time because you're answering an email at 10 p.m. or you are, you know, putting children to sleep at 10 p.m. But, you know, following that routine, 8 o'clock bedtime, you know, and those kind of things help to create order and to feel, you know, to help you feel like you're not working or you're not stressed or you've got a lot on your plate all the time.
Thank you very much, Auntie Vonga. If you're just tuning in, we are My Station, Your Station, ZFM Stereo. And this is Zandiri with Patience Musa and Shark Boy.
Yeah.
How did you manage to be able to do everything at home and still stay sane?
The relationship mind, no, mind, it's not going to pressurize us all.
Ah, tight. Manje kanori parent, manje waiti kugwita basa rako iwewe ka wogobata bukure mwana futi wogoristada manera acha kuti utongoruzi yaka. Because otherwise munenge muchidzidza mese muchinetsana ipapapa. Ah, hectic times. But thank you very much to Auntie Vongai for those tips. Certainly they will work.
Yeah. Yeah, and to one guy running to my report all the time, but you keep that syrup for the Ganeso.
And so moving on to the next question.
And to one guy, what are the activities families do to ensure a healthy mental well being of children and adolescents during the lockdown, for example, during a crisis?
Ensure the mental well-being of adolescents during such a crisis. I think it would be really good if parents were more understanding to respect each other, the need for privacy, and to help the adolescents to understand the times we're in. There are so many adolescents who are living in step families, and for them to just cope mentally, I believe it would need some outside help for it to help, so that the relations which might be strained or going on well don't become strained or further strained. That's how I believe it can be helped to curb such challenges.
Children and adolescents, from my experience, need to know that they are loved and to know that there is somebody who's there for them, who will take care of them, who protect them and ensure that they are safe and they are secure. And with COVID-19, I think that's one of the things, you know, a threat to safety, to security, to life. They needed a lot of reassurance from their parents and also correct and accurate information about COVID-19 and how it's going to affect them and how it could possibly affect them and affect their lives. That would have been quite important, and it is quite important to talk to kids and to adolescents in a way that they would understand, in a language that they understand, about the things that are going on, even if it's conflict in the home, even if it's death, grief and loss, even if it's sickness. You know, it's important to share and to talk to children so that children understand what's going on, which will help them to feel safe and grounded and, you know, to adapt to whatever changes need to happen in the family and in the home. So safety and security is important. And then outside of that, children, you know, need to eat healthy. They need physical activity and recreation. You know, don't want to be bored and, you know, be doing nothing all the time. They need to be able to sleep well. They need to be able to play. to go outside and play, meet with their friends and colleagues, and you know, do other activities that are not just educational, so that they can grow that other social side of their lives. So being taken care of and being cared for, I think, is the primary thing. Together with all of these other things that I've spoken about, they will help children and adolescents to grow well.
And, you know, with the lockdown, a lot of families, you know, did find themselves and now today, you know, stuck at home, you know, not going anywhere. And of course, you know, sector studio, but because, you know, we're really meant to stay at home and not be walking around. At all. So, Auntie Bongai, if you could please guide us on family conflict management during physical distancing.
So one of the things that's very important and that I think was a positive that came from COVID-19 is that we got a chance to stay together. You know, I mean, with the hustle and bustle of, you know, getting work done, taking the children to school and all of that, families really got a chance to spend time together. And when we spend time together, you know, this is the time where we, you know, get irritated with each other because of, you know, things that usually we wouldn't notice about each other. But when we are together, we get a lot of things that our family members do that can annoy us. And because we are together, those things, you know, breed conflict and cause conflict. And a lot of the times, people are afraid of conflict or try to avoid conflict, or they do not want conflict within their space and within their relationships because they think conflicts actually break down relationships. But the truth of the matter is that conflicts build relationships, because when I trust you enough to say you've done something wrong or you've hurt my feelings or we don't agree, it means that what I've given you is a chance or an opportunity to get to know me better, so that either we can talk about whatever the challenge is and then we become closer as a result of that conflict or that difference in opinion. So it's actually quite important for families to have conflict, because when we have conflicts, we get to know each other, we get to know what the other person likes, what they don't like, and then we act in certain ways that then, you know, make the other person feel loved by us because we've heard what they have said and what they say they don't like. So conflict is actually important, and we had lots of conflicts within lockdown and during this time, but there were conflicts that were actually, if managed well, would be able to bring us closer and closer together and to each other. So it's important in this time that if you have conflicts and, you know, siblings are fighting, which is normal and expected, you know, you want to be able to teach them problem solving skills, learning how to talk to each other, learning how to listen to each other, learning how to talk without shouting, learning how to problem solve, learning how to compromise. And these are skills that adults need to learn, and these are skills that children also need to learn. So as a parent, you could model the right behavior on how to resolve conflicts by resolving conflicts with your spouse and your partner, and even with your children as well. And they, the children themselves, would also model that behavior, and they'll learn how to manage conflict within the household and within the family.
Thank you very much, Auntie Bongai. Sam and Tobai tuned in. Thank you so much for your messages. And, you know, so Shagboy, kakawanda patino netanaga, tino batafungo, you isndrazo, yipa yipa panaba. So it was really eye-opening to hear Auntie Bongai say that, kunoitika. Kuchaitika, yeah. But it's okay. I process yekunzwisisana, kutuzozi, aywa, Shagboy is zvaadi. Shagboy hadi kutaurwa naye zvakadaiso. Shagboy hadi kubatirwa zvinhu zvake. And it's really okay. That's how we learn to live with each other. Chokwadi chaizvo.
So, Achivonga, what else can we do to help families and young couples in the shadow of COVID-19 for their day-to-day basis?
So with everything that is going on, we need to be compassionate with each other. And we need to be patient, and we need to be kind in the way that we deal with each other and in the way that we respond to each other and every single thing that is going on around us. With COVID-19 and everything that is coming up, it's very natural and normal for us to have conflict, and it's natural and normal for us to have challenges and problems. But the way that we speak to each other, the way that we respond, will be what, you know, keeps our relationships going. So if we respond in anger, if we speak disrespectfully, if we start giving each other names, and, you know, we don't fight fair, our relationships will break down and we will lose each other during this time and during this period. But if we manage conflict well, we will be closer, we will know each other better, and we will have a stronger and a deeper bond after this experience with COVID-19. So there are techniques that we use. Sometimes, you know, when you are so angry, it's actually quite important for you to not talk then, but to actually speak when you are calmer. So walking away is very important in the heat of an argument, just saying, look, I can't talk now because I think, you know, tempers are flaring and we are going to end up saying things that we end up regretting. So we need to stop, and then we come back to it when we are calmer, when we can listen to each other. So let's avoid giving each other names. Let's avoid labels. Let's avoid cursing each other. Let's avoid using harsh words that we will regret and that we won't be able to take back after the situation has calmed down or after we understand each other better.
Thank you very much to Auntie Vongai, and thank you very much to Amanda. And, you know, ipapapa kunetsa napacho, even as you have disagreements, always understand mukutaurana machemo mukutizo, muruda kutaurirana kuti mugadzirisane, not kuti, you know, murukunetsana kuti musazo. Saka, that's what you should always keep in mind, that you are going to have issues with each other, but it's okay. As you learn about each other, you should be able to have discussions, sit down and talk about it properly and be able to solve them so that you can continue to live in peace. And again, thank you very much to Amanda and Auntie Vongai for coming through and, you know, helping us out today. And also, you know, today's Zandiri program, I'm proudly brought to you by AfricAid and Ready Plus. And to get familiar with the Ready Plus program, go to the Ready Movement Facebook, Twitter, Instagram pages, or visit the global network of young people living with HIV and Frontline AIDS socials. And that is website, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, so that you can learn more. You know, my conversations is at Tinoita Panapaka, Tinotaura Edu, but Panema. Platform Edu Mamwesewaye, you'll be able to get more information. And of course, don't forget that the U Report platform is all yours, that you can use at any time. 33500, and all you have to do is text the word Zandiri. And as you know, the Zandiri Radio Show is a platform for young people and the rest of the community to learn more about HIV related health information. Every single week, there are people who inbox me, like, patients, and as naga na utomboipa kusaziva kuna kuipa, but problem yo kusaziva kusada kuziva at all. So if you have a program like this where you and I are both learning, isn't that a good thing? Yes, indeed it is. So see you the next time for another live streamed informative session on the Zandiri Radio Show. And if you have any questions, feel free to SMS the word Zandiri to 33500. And like Sharkboy was just saying earlier, on this platform is Mahara, Mahara. It's all yours. Or you can visit the website www.africade/zandiri.org. That's www.africade/zandiri.org. And then you'll be able to learn more about the work being done by CATS and AfricAid within the communities they serve. Sharkboy, ndaona kuti warowa network. Network yada kuita majera sandiri. Anyway, yeah, you know, but, you know, we had, you were with me for a very long time there. And so that's all for this week's edition of Jandiri. My name is Patience Musa. This is your day. You go ahead and claim it, take it, own it, and rock it.